Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long the Martian.
I think you're right. I think I do hear something in Matt's voice. It's a little more high pitched than it usually is.
Yeah, slightly higher pitched.
Slightly.
and other than the Astros pulling an amazing comeback after being down 3-9 and playing a game 7 as we speak. The other big news of the week is Matt went through a little bit of a procedure. And, you know, it wouldn't be me, man. Long is probably nicer than I am, but it wouldn't be me if I didn't bust your balls, quite literally. And, it's just,
they already feel busted.
I just can't help it, you know. But Matt had a little bit of his manhood taken away with a vasectomy. And so, you know, Matt, that just calls for some jokes, man. I'm going to let you off a little light. I was going to eulogize your balls, but I was like, I felt a little personal. And, not only that, I didn't know if I could make it through the whole thing without losing it hysterically. But,
oh, don't worry. His balls will find a way to get a sixth child going.
Oh,
a sixth.
But I've got some vasectomy jokes for you. And you know, so
did you find one of these books from like Barnes and Noble and they had like a vasectomy joke book?
The fucking internet has everything, man. You know. So I went to get a vasectomy and the doctor said I won't have children anymore. When I went back home, they were still there.
Nice.
Some of these are kind of lame. I got a vasectomy and my girlfriend still got pregnant. Apparently all vasectomy does is change the color of the baby.
I told my wife that joke too.
These are bad. My wife said, "You have a vasectomy without telling me? Are you serious?" You responded by saying, "I'm not kidding you."
That's a pun.
Yes.
A pun.
Get a lot it, of man. These are the same. Doctor, how did my vasectomy go? Well, about that, Miss Smith, or in this case, Miss Childs.
It went a little too well. You want to sit down for this.
Yes, a little bit too. A lot of these are just same race jokes over and over again. But, you know, either way, I just wanted to have a few jokes on you because, you know, you're the first person I've ever known that's ever had this done, you know. And so it's fair and square, you know. I hope you're enjoying the ice on your balls. You know?
Yes.
And I have to wait like 6 weeks before you can even crank one off or anything like that. So, so I'm expecting maybe some possibly future Grumpy Matt episodes in the next few weeks, possibly.
You know? Possibly.
You might be a little backed up there, sir.
Possibly.
Long's over there. That's okay. Long's over there playing innocent, but you know. I am.
He's thinking of jokes in his head.
You know, Long texted me earlier. Like, is it okay to air Matt's business on the show? Fuck yes, it is. All the way. No fucking doubt. Because, you know, I would expect the same from you guys. You know, I mean, I had a spider bite underneath my fucking ball sack a few weeks ago and I aired it out on the fucking show basically. So, you know,
no, you didn't. Now you did, but not then. I don't recall you airing it out explicitly.
So, you know,
have you been able to climb on walls since then at all?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet.
He's been shooting webs out of his penis.
Yeah. Only his balls can stick to things, not his hands.
But what's weird is, like, about a week ago, where it was, another little blood boil popped back up. And then it popped and went away. So there must have been some poison still in there.
What if, TMI.
What if it laid eggs in your
pocket? TMI.
I know. It's probably his TMI.
We are losing listeners as we speak.
Well, you know.
Nobody wants to hear about boils and skin rashes.
Or swollen balls.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling to have swollen balls.
I will say, anyone that is interested in, you know, reducing the percentage that you could get someone pregnant with in your manly parts, the procedure, like, I mean, you're numb when it happens, really numb. But the beforehand, when they're trying to find out where your tubes are and clamp them down, that part is still very, very uncomfortable. It's probably the worst part of it all.
Nobody wants to know all this.
Yeah.
Well, nobody wants to hear all this.
I don't ever.
I don't want to hear it.
Done, so I'm not worried about it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you sent us a picture of the bloody table. I was like, what the fuck at first?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause y'all were messing with me. So that was the only thing I could fire back with.
I mean, I zoomed in wondering if there was a fucking pair of balls on the table or some shit. I figured they put them in a glass jar for you. I mean, you know, Jackie already owns them as it is, and now she really fucking owns them.
Like the governor from Walking Dead. He had the heads in the jars.
Oh. Yeah.
So. No, he's that scene from Batman 89 when the Joker was all wrapped up in the back alley doctor's scene. And I bet you Matt's like all wrapped up and then the doctor's like, but sir, we did what we could. And then Matt looks in the mirror and he's like, he starts laughing. And then the doctor's looking at him scared. He's like, you see what I have to work with? Pointing at the tools. And then Matt breaks the mirror. And then he walks out laughing hysterically like the freaking Jack Nicholson Joker did.
I can see that happening.
So you're saying Matt has a really white dick now?
Yeah, maybe.
And on that note, maybe. How has y'all's week been, other than Matt going under the knife?
Other than that, it's cool, I guess.
Just only two more work days for vacation for me. So enjoying the weekend, testing out the new surround sound system.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Is it working out really well?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The surround sound effect does a pretty good job. It's only 5.1, but that's okay. That's all I need.
That's plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, but yeah, my week has been just work. I got one more week of work till vacation, so that's cool.
It's almost same here.
As it is October, though, as we continue our Halloween Horrors Month. talking a pretty cool film today. And let's start the show then officially with a Download This, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out this week. So what have you guys been watching?
I finished The Boys Season 2. I will say it did not end the way I expected it to end. I like the little twist that they added and what all happened. And if you haven't gotten around to finishing season two, man, it's really good. I think the last episode turned out pretty good. Sad in some parts, but cool in others. And then Vudu had some sales this week, so I picked up Cabin in the Woods, and I watched it. Evil Dead 2 and 1 was on sale, so I caught both of those, but I only watched Evil Dead 2. And then Scream. Actually, Scream 3 was on sale. Scream wasn't, but I was like, you know, Scream is way better than Scream 3, so I just went ahead and picked up Scream and watched it while I was just laying down. Had a lot of time the past day, past 36 hours or so, to just watch whatever I wanted to.
I wonder why.
Yeah. And what else did I watch anything else? Oh, yeah. I started watching the original Halloween, but I didn't get to finish it. And then I got a DVD in, found this really, really good deal on Amazon. My last thing, Amazon's got this really good deal on the original 8 movies, for Friday the 13th. And, I got this $5 code off of it. It was originally $20 on Blu-ray, and I paid $16 for 8 movies, so $2 a movie for the first 8 Friday the 13th films and all Blu-ray. I couldn't beat that deal, so I went ahead and picked it up, and I watched Friday the 13th Part 3.
Cool. I recently bought a copy of Final Fantasy 14 Online. It's the first MMO game I've played since Star Wars Old Republic. Nice. So far, I'm enjoying it. Been playing a little bit of that. And I've also been playing a little bit of Dragon Quest XI on the Switch. Man, that game is loud on the surround sound system.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
very but, clear sound, I bet, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Coming from the Switch, too. And then... did I mention that I saw another opera last time?
Yeah, you saw the John Williams opera, correct?
No. I ordered the John Williams film concert thingy.
That's right.
I started watching it today, and yeah, it's pretty cool. Seeing the Star Wars theme and Indiana Jones theme being played by some of the world class musicians. But no, I think I saw an opera called Parsifal, and it's kind of like a Arthurian legend type of opera, and mm-hmm. It's really good. It's long. It's like at least four hours long, and I'm like, ah. But anyways, it was a really good opera, despite its length. And I don't know why Richard Wagner writes such long operas. Everyone else's opera is like 2 to 3 hours, you know?
Oh,
but
wow.
It's four to five hours. It's like, ah. Kind of a time investment.
Yeah. So,
yeah. But other than that, I've ordered a bunch of Blu-rays. I got Vampire Hunter D, Bloodlust on Blu-ray. And I'll watch that during my vacation. And then, what else is there that I got? That's about it.
Did you buy Ninja Scroll?
Yes, I did.
There we go.
Yeah. I bought that too. Oh, by the way, Mark, the director, the animation director for Ninja Scroll, also did Vampire Hunter D: Bloodlust as well. Mm. Yeah,
I've seen the original Vampire Hunter D movie.
But, yeah. Bloodlust is definitely a very beautiful anime, and definitely one of the best action animes you'll ever watch. So, anyhow, that's my week. What about you, Mark?
I didn't watch much. A lot of Astros games. Had Darkest Point Wednesday, so my schedule's been kind of off. I'm trying to think. Played a little bit more of Squadrons, but not much. I feel like there was something I watched last weekend, and I don't remember. Oh, the kids wanted to watch Back to the Future, so we watched that. As I've said many times in the show, my middle one, Wyatt, the kid likes old school stuff, man. He loves Godzilla, Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. and lately his thing is Back to the Future. He's asking for Back to the Future stuff for Christmas.
Nice.
It's kind of cool that he just grabbed it. And it's funny because I like Star Wars and superheroes, but I don't overly gravitate to one.
Mm-hmm.
decade or another, but for some reason he really likes 80s stuff, so
yeah.
But, I know he wants to watch Part 2, and we just haven't had time to sit down and watch it, maybe tomorrow, but yeah, that's really about it, man. I slacked off this week when it comes to download this. I will admit that. Hell, it was hard to find time to squeeze in the movie that we are talking about today, but I did manage to squeeze it in yesterday afternoon. So
nice.
Same.
So I was getting there, but I'll do better this week. So, and I'll try it. I think I did watch another episode of The Boys. I'm trying to remember where I left off on that show. Yeah, I know I watched some of it, but I don't remember exactly where I left off. I remember Butcher and his ex-wife or his wife on the bridge or something like that. And who knows? I might have been a little tired or under the influence or something when I was watching it. So who knows?
Under the influence.
Tired.
Yes.
Or falling asleep while trying to watch. Yes. What happens to me. If something starts slowing down, all of a sudden I find myself falling asleep on the chair.
Well, that, and especially like those R-rated shows, I have to watch them late when the kids are asleep, and sometimes it's hard to make it through them. So, you know, and other than that, as you can tell, my voice is still shy. I did go to the Texans game last Sunday. I guess that's kind of doing something outside the norm. But
how was that game?
It was a good game.
They won. I mean, it was kind of cool not being overly crowded. I think I got out of NRGs faster than I'd ever gotten out of there before.
Yeah.
So, you know, it literally probably took me longer to get out of the parking lot at my son's football game today than it did at NRG last Saturday. So, or Sunday. So, hey, I'll take it. But it was a good time. And so cool. That's about it this week. I will try to watch something this week. There's been a couple things on Netflix I spotted that I want to watch, and so I just got to get around to watching it. Yeah. Let's get into today's movie then, as Halloween Horrors continues, as we're going off the rails a little bit with a not a prototypical horror film, but a film that is a kind of a satire on alien invasion films and alien horror in some ways, I guess you could say, and that is the Tim Burton directed film based on the Topps trading cards, Mars Attacks. And interesting concept, I guess, based on a trading card series that was that Tim Burton literally pitched this film to Warner Brothers by showing them the trading cards.
Yeah.
They didn't even have a complete script yet. It was just an idea. Warner Brothers was like, sure, but you got to think too, in 1996, I mean, Tim Burton was a god at Warner Brothers. He had made Batman and Batman Returns. Ed Wood was pretty successful for him.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were like, sure, Tim Burton wants to make a movie? Fuck, we'll let him do it.
Did Edward Scissorhands comes out before
Scissorhands,
that?
Was it before Batman?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you know, his success run was pretty strong back then. So, you know, imagine he could do what he wanted at
Warner and Beetlejuice. Brothers.
And they gave him... What was it? $90 million was the budget to make this film.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
He wanted to do the Martians stop motion, but wasn't able to do that because of budget. But so he went out and made this movie with quite an amazing cast, really. There's a lot of people in this fucking movie. But if you haven't seen it, it's basically, I haven't summarized in a while, so I'll summarize. Basically, the Martians are invading Earth. They arise from the trenches of Mars and they come to our planet, and at first it seems like they're kind of here peacefully, but they aren't. And you have a president that is a bit naive to the whole thing, played by Jack Nicholson. And you have a bunch of crazy Martians with really dark sense of humor and lots of disintegrations and death and crazy antics. This movie, it's a little all over the place because it's trying to be this satire type film, but it's also a little serious, also a little campy, also a little funny. It almost can't decide what it wants to be exactly, but for some reason it kind of works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you guys' initial thoughts on Mars Attacks.
Whenever I first saw this movie, I thought it was kind of cool and kind of like I thought it was funnier versus like watching it now. Yes. I kind of get that feeling that you feel like there's some bright spots here, but you know, it's the film struggles with its identity, and You know, that's why it suffered. But you know, for what it is, it's definitely unique. There, you know, Tom Jones is probably my favorite moment in that film whenever, he's singing and then the Martians show up and they're like, ack, 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 and they're dancing along with his background singers. And, he's like, oh my God, there's aliens here.
Well, a quick funny note before you can continue in a second is the ack, ack was written in the script accidentally because they didn't know what the Martians were going to say.
Yeah,
they ended up keeping it. Yeah.
I think the worst thing that this film does is reuse things over and over and over again. It's like the lasers, like overly setting people on fire and stuff is is great and stuff, but they do it like all the time.
Well, if you read that, though, some of that was budget restraints. They had plans for the Martians to have all kinds of different deaths, but they couldn't afford it, so all the deaths ended up looking the same.
Okay, yeah. That's why. That's why. That makes sense. What about you, Long?
The movie, you know, for some reason, when I first saw the movie like 10 plus years ago, I watched it and I thought, oh, that was kind of cool, you know, a little underwhelming, you know. And then for some reason, like up until recently, I had like thought of the movie in rose tinted glasses, you know, that nostalgia. And I was like, man, that movie was kind of entertaining, you know, when I think about certain scenes. Then rewatching it again, I'm like, God, okay, I'd forgotten how long it takes to get things going.
Yes.
It's just like half an hour at least of nothing happening. And it's a lot of talking and speculation. And then even when they start invading and start shooting people or disintegrating people, I was like, why am I having a hard time paying attention to this film, you know, or keeping my attention? But I'm like, I guess that nostalgia thing was influencing how I thought of the movie. But, I there are some scenes that I was entertained by, but I don't know, it dragged, even when the invasion actually went and started, you know?
Well, it was just weird. A lot of talent in this film, man. I felt like Jack Nicholson.
Well, I like Jack Nicholson. I really liked him in this film, though. I mean,
yeah, Nicholson's good.
I like him as the president. Really his other character, I felt like they were originally going to use Michael Keaton, I think, for that character.
Well, they went through several actors to do the president, and they kept getting turned down. So yeah.
I mean the Vegas casino owner dude, that character that he plays, the second character, I like him as the president. The other guy, I'm like, I felt like he just didn't do it for me. The president, yeah.
That character seemed out of place too. I mean, he served no story purpose really.
Yeah, not really.
In the whole, the casino person, at least on second initial viewing, right? It's just really to stretch Jack Nicholson's acting chops.
Yeah, you know,
which is not that much of a stretch.
There's a few characters like that in this movie. Danny DeVito's character serves no purpose. The girl, the girl who's obsessed with like the Martians are a spiritual thing, she serves no purpose. But they're just sort of in the movie. We're introduced to Michael J. Fox, and this is his last theatrical film before he got sick. You know, he's in the movie really for no fucking reason. All of a sudden he dies.
Yeah.
You know? Jack Black's character, there's a lot of that in this movie. Jack Black's character serves no purpose.
Christina Applegate.
Yeah. And then
she hardly says anything.
Yeah.
See, movie has a huge cast, but so many characters don't do anything. And then you have an actor. Well, then you have like Jim Brown, the movie, is a football player. He can't act worth shit. And he's given like a major part in the film.
And we don't even know what his job is. He works at this casino, but I guess he just walks around.
He's like begging for a room. There's this subplot where he with his kids and wants to make more money, and like they live in another state or something, but he never goes home. It's weird. Yeah.
He's trying to get back together with his ex-wife, and they keep telling each other that they love each other, but how did they get divorced in the first place? I don't know. That's never touched upon.
But then the things that do work in this film are, like you said, the president, his military, And the invasion scenes are a lot of fun, or the battles, you know, the Martians.
Let's not forget Rod Steiger as the trigger happy general.
Yes, oh, yeah. Rod Steiger, Martin Short as the hooker loving White House speaker.
Oh, yeah, don't even be starting him. His character is just like, it's weird to see Martin Short play such a creepy, weird character.
Yeah.
And
he's like, he oh, my home. Job, so stressful.
Yeah. Then he takes home this Martian girl. He's so fucking stupid, he doesn't realize it. Something's Lisa weird about her. And she, of course, kills him. Oh. Yeah, and he has a whole setup in the White House where they make fun of the rumored Kennedy room, where he has this room where he takes the hookers and all that. And yeah. Really, really bizarre. But I think that sums up this movie a lot, too, is a lot of really bizarre stuff in this film that just doesn't make any sense. But yet, do you forgive some of that because it's a Tim Burton film? You know, maybe you expect it to be bizarre and weird.
It's very, very bizarre and weird for a very bizarre and weird person, you know? It's very campy. I think campy and crazy is probably the two C words that I would use for this this film. We didn't mention Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Bronson in it. He's actually okay in the movie. Glenn Close, I'm not even sure Glenn Close, like, she's a great actress, but like, I don't think she knew how to act in this movie. Like,
yeah,
they just told her to go do something and she did it. A young Natalie Portman in this movie who feels like she's just bored. Then you have the whole thing with the kid and his grandmother. They're the ones who figure out how to kill the aliens by playing bad country music. It's like, what?
Yes, very bad country music.
Yeah.
And the whole funny thing is, the guy who wrote the script for this film wrote the script not knowing that there was already a story on the back of the Topps trading cards. And he said if he had known that, he would have made the story closer to what the trading cards were going to be. There were also things that Tim Burton tried to fight for. He did try to fight for R rating on this. He wanted to be a little more gruesome and more deaths and stuff, but the studio wasn't going to have it. So he had to cut things back and make it PG-13. Nicholson did the film without even reading the script because he really enjoyed working with Burton on Batman. So it's like he wanted to work with him again. It's weird to watch this and wonder how this cast came together. But yet, I know we're talking a lot of negative on this film. I wouldn't say the film is terrible, but it's very entertaining, but it's not a great film either.
You know, it's a roller coaster. You've got peaks and you've got valleys and peaks and valleys. And it's like there are some things that I think they meant to be funny that just really didn't make me laugh, like the flaming cows.
Right.
Yeah, like it's a jacked up McDonald's commercial. Yeah.
Well, the voice of the Martians is played by Frank Welker, the voice of the original Megatron.
Megatron, Skeletor.
From Transformers.
Oh, I didn't realize
that. And Skeletor, yeah. He also played Ray Stantz, the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Oh.
And I got to make this note real quick, too. For some reason, when I see Rod Steiger's character as the trigger-happy general, he reminds me of Matt so much. I don't know why.
The trigger-happy general. We need to pull him up.
Yeah. He reminds me of Matt. I don't know why. It's just, you know.
Bald, trigger-happy, blow stuff up. I could see that. I would probably be like him. Aliens, just blow them up. But hey, that didn't work out for him. But maybe they didn't send enough nukes. He sent some nukes up there with some record players.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. It was not middle of the road exactly, but it's slightly above average, I'd say.
I kind of had the same thoughts both of you did, though. I remember watching this years ago and think it was a lot more fun than it was now.
Yeah.
But it's still not that it's not fun, but I just felt like I remember there being a lot more Martian stuff when I originally watched it. And like you said, it takes almost 30 minutes to get to it. And I'm like, and then there's a quick scene and then it kind of goes away. And then they come back And then they use the same trick twice. They say they come in peace and they kill some of the soldiers. Then they say they still want peace and they kill all of Congress. It's like, you know,
yeah.
So you kind of use the same plot device twice.
I love that line from Nicholson. It's like, okay, we must reassure the American people that despite having only 2 out of 3 branches of the government working, we're still out there and we want them to have a sense of normalcy. <You know? Yeah. laughs> 2 out of 3 branches.
Well, even when they first find out that they're invading, he goes, I need a really good speech. It's got to be patriotic, but also warm so that people aren't scared. And it's funny because you almost could see any president really doing that. You know, like we have to reassure people, you know, and Nicholson is really good in the movie.
He also
had a weird clause in his contract that they weren't allowed to kill his character, but yet they were allowed to kill his character if he played 2 parts. And then they end up killing both the characters. So it was some weird deal.
Interesting.
Yeah. Quick facts. This movie was made on a budget of $70 million. It only grossed $101 million. So it was considered a box office disappointment by Warner Brothers. But thankfully, it made a small profit, you know, to break even. the effects were done by ILM, Industrial Light and Magic. And the movie ended up getting nominated by the Hugo Award for Best Dramatic Presentation and earned multiple nominations with the at the Saturn Awards. So yeah, that's a quick rundown on the facts on Mars Attacks.
Nice.
This came out in what?
What's 96? The score, Mark?
0 to
What's
4.
What's the score on the game?
Still losing 4-0 now.
What's the ending?
It's 7th.
Oh, okay.
It's not looking good. But
no.
Oh well. Well, I guess that gets us to our. Well, let's. What do you guys rank this movie? I give it a. I don't know, C plus, maybe a B minus.
Yeah, C plus. I'm in agreement. Yeah, I go with B minus, C plus. Pacing issues, and weird story threads that went nowhere.
But I do like the animated look of the Martians, and I think they're.
Pretty oh yeah, cool. Yeah.
You know, the old,
yeah, that's
and the whole, and they did that on purpose. You know, the whole movie, even though the movie takes place in present day as of 96, they wanted the whole movie to look like 1950s. So that's why all the soldiers wear old school uniforms. The Martians are kind of old school. So I will give that credit to the movie. I like the way the movie looked. So, yeah. Well, that gets us to this week's top 5. Maybe it's a little bit cliche, but, top 5 alien invasion movies, which makes sense. So whoever wants to go first.
I'll start first. This time I won't skip Matt like I did twice last week. I'll do my best to keep track of things.
That's okay. We'll which voice is hard to hear him anyway.
with this top 5, even though the list may sound typical or predictable, I'm going to go the esoteric route. And my number 5... is starting out my list is Invasion of the Astro Monster. Yeah, that's a Godzilla movie. And oh. And Invasion of the Astro Monster came out in 1964, and it's basically about a race of aliens that asks the people of Earth that if they could borrow Rodan and Godzilla to fight the three-headed monster Ghidorah on their planet X. And lo and behold, the aliens betray the Earthlings' trust by mind-controlling Godzilla and Rodan to attack Earth instead. And then whole alien invasion. Flying saucers come down on Earth. And anyways, that's my number 5, Invasion of the Astro Monster.
Nice.
What's your number 5, Matt?
I'm going to go with, this made me think of what maybe I would consider I threw a lot of my picks from my youth in here too, from around this time. So, my number 5 is, Independence Day. I think it's a fun movie. And then just, you know, the president and the jet fighter was pretty cool. And I always liked Will Smith and man, I can't think of his name right now, but Cousin Ed.
Jeff Goldblum?
No, Cousin Ed, you know, from the Vacation movies. He said he got abducted before, and then he drives up and sacrifices himself. Yeah,
Randy Quaid.
Thank you, Long. He makes the movie too. So Independence Day, number five.
Yeah, what's your number five, Mark?
My number five. I put this on this list just to throw shade at Long. And that is The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. It is technically the aliens come down and Buckaroo Banzai has to defeat them. It's one of my favorite movies. I love it. I love Buckaroo Banzai. I still have hopes one day the MGM stops being little fucking bitches and lets someone make a television series or reboot Buckaroo. But for some reason, MGM insists on holding it in a vault, not letting Kevin Smith or anybody do anything with it, which makes no fucking sense because there's an audience there for it. But fuck you, MGM. Maybe one day let somebody make a new.
Oh, MGM is barely a movie studio in itself. That's
exactly what Kevin Smith said on his podcast one time. He's like, why don't they just let me make this? You're not doing anything with the fucking product IP anyway. Just let me have the IP. But MGM are bitches. So that's my pick.
The studio on its last legs. I don't recall any kind of major MGM film in the last 10 years that have been,
hits. They still have slight ties to Bond. I think they get their name on the Bond releases, even though they're not the main studio because, you know, they had Bond for years. Huh. That's about it.
Nope. Yeah. Well, my number four is another giant monster movie called Gamera 2, The Attack of Legion. Basically, a meteor crashes into Earth and releases a horde of alien crustacean creatures. And then their main queen is a giant monster called Legion. And Gamera, the giant monster turtle, fire-breathing monster turtle, fights Legion to save Earth from its invasion. That's my number two. Gamera 2, Attack of Legion. What's your number four, Matt?
I had to put Buckaroo Banzai on this list. I've got it fourth. Everyone's last name is Big Booty, and then there's Milk, and there's a rocket car that's just crazy, and he's got the coolest job title in the world. He's like samurai, gunfighter, singer, comic book action star, Buckaroo scientist. Banzai
is the coolest fucking dude ever.
It's like if you walked into a job convention and they're like, what is your job? And you're like, I'm an astronaut, gunfighter, military, samurai, you know? It's like, coolest job title ever. Buckaroo.
And not only that, but you have back-to-back movies with Jeff Goldblum on them on your list.
Yes.
And I can promise you, there's going to be another Jeff Goldblum appearance on my list. But not yet.
Not yet.
At number four, I have Signs. A movie that truly creeped me out when it came out. I still think it's Shyamalan's best work. The scene where Joaquin Phoenix is watching the television and the alien goes across the backyard. God, it gives you... I'm getting chills just right now in the house. You know, Signs is a great film and one that I think one day we will probably be doing the show eventually. But I have Signs at number four.
They're allergic to water, right? Is that the thing?
Yeah. It was water.
Oh, okay. My number three is Independence Day, ID4. Great cast of characters. I love the special effects. They still hold up to me to this day. I remember being mesmerized by this film. The concept of an alien invasion going against modern day, you know, technology was intriguing at that time. To touch up on a little bit, I did see the sequel, Independence Day 2.
That sucked.
Resurgence.
It was okay. It wasn't that bad. I think it's an average movie. I kind of enjoy the last part of it, where it actually turns into a giant monster movie, you know, in the sequel. But anyways, that's my number three, Independence Day. What's your number three, Matt?
For number three, I've got The Quiet Place. or A Quiet Place, sorry. I just think that though, if we ever had those aliens invade the Earth, we'd all be screwed over. And it's just a really good, really good film. Krasinski does a good job. You're on the edge the whole time. It's like you want to be quiet along with all the characters in the movie. So Quiet Place for me, number three.
My number three is a classic of all classics, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Maybe it's not your typical alien invasion movie because the aliens don't invade us. They come to help us in a way in the movie. Mm-hmm. But it's still just the whole setup of the film.
That's just a first contact movie, Mark. Yeah, that doesn't count.
But you don't have Independence Day if you don't have Close Encounters. You know, it's just such a landmark film that I couldn't leave it off the list, you know. So, and one of Spielberg's best.
Yeah. My number two is Battleship. Yeah, Battleship.
You're fucking kidding, right?
It's an alien invasion movie. It has my favorite subject, naval warfare.
You're being serious?
Yeah, I'm being serious, fool.
I turned that movie off. It's so bad. I couldn't finish
watching it. Laugh that hard. Don't make me laugh too hard.
Dude, it was terrible. I couldn't finish watching it.
Well, I finished it, and you're missing out on a fantastic movie, Mark. Who wouldn't want to see the Battleship Missouri coming out of its World War II museum status to beat up on some alien invaders with its, 16-inch caliber guns? I mean, come on.
And Peter kicked the aliens' butts. I like Peter Berg as a director, but that was one movie he made that was just like, what were you doing, dude? So
he was making a classic. That's what he was doing. No, I'm joking. Okay, my real number two is actually the original 1954 movie, 1956 movie, War of the Worlds.
Nice.
The original War of the Worlds is actually my real number two. It's just something about the way those flying saucers are designed, the tripods, and the way they shoot sparks out of the eyes, the ray guns.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very pessimistic movie, too, for its time. Pretty dark movie for the 50s. So, and in Technicolor. But that's my real number two, War of the Worlds, the original one, which a lot of story beats were taken by Independence Day.
Thank God, man. I thought I was going to have to take away your fucking movie card of a Battleship.
What's your number two, Matt?
I had, when you said Battleship, I'm like, oh man, Cowboys versus Aliens is going to be next.
Oh yeah. Yeah, buddy.
You know, that's a guilty pleasure movie though. I mean, Harrison Ford, Daniel Craig, Olivia Wilde, the movie's a lot of fun. It's not great, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. John Favreau, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John Favreau made that. Yeah. John Favreau is a very competent director.
Yeah.
Good writer.
Yeah, I think Cowboys and Aliens sometimes doesn't get enough credit because I think it's kind of a fun movie. But anyway, you're number two, man.
I'm going to be predictable. Aliens is my number two. I didn't use it on the last.
But that's not an invasion movie.
But the Xenomorphs, invaded, right? Didn't they?
No. We go to their planets in space.
The aliens. No, the humans were the alien invaders. Right, Matt? Yeah, I'm helping you, Matt.
Yeah.
It's
alien invasions.
LV 426.
How the turntables.
It's a reverse alien invasion movie. Yeah, the colonists were the invaders.
At least it had aliens in it, Mark, and guns, and Michael Biehn.
My number two is It's Independence Day, a movie that was pretty cool when it came out in 1996. It's still a lot of fun to watch. Has a great movie speech in it from Bill Pullman. It made Will Smith a bigger star than it made him a big movie star. He's already a star because of Fresh Prince, but Independence Day was the movie that made him a movie star.
Absolutely.
And it had the Star Wars Special Edition trailer in front of it was the reason a lot of people were going to see it. They wanted to get the first look at the Star Wars special editions, but Independence Day, number two on my list.
And an awesome trailer, too. At first, the teaser trailer was the White House exploding. The
White House blowing up, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My number one, drum roll. It's Destroy All Monsters.
Yeah,
that's my number one.
Godzilla.
Set in the far future of 1990X.
1990X.
The aliens, the Killax, invade Earth, and they can't do it by themselves, so they control all of Earth's monsters to do their bidding and destroy the Earth. And so Earth has to destroy all monsters in order to survive or destroy the alien control device. That's my number one, Destroy All Monsters.
Nice.
What's your number one, Matt?
I am going to go predictable. And, of course, it's an Arnold movie, and that's Predator. And that time an alien did come, Mark.
Well, yeah, I'm not arguing with you on that one. He's an alien comes to our planet. Not aliens.
Jesse Ventura, Shane Black, Carl Weathers, and the greatest handshake ever in the history of handshakes.
I don't know if that counts as an invasion movie, though. Well, it's just one alien hunting
that we human know for of. Game. And we find out in Predator 2, there's some more in New York.
I don't know.
We'll give him this one.
It's an alien type movie, but yeah, we'll give him that.
Yeah.
You didn't go with War of the Worlds?
I have a confession. I have not seen the original. I've only seen the Tom Cruise one.
And yeah.
You didn't like that one?
Tom Cruise was pretty good, though.
But I felt like, you know, for me to be able to judge it, I would have had to pit it against the original, and I just haven't done it yet. So I couldn't put that up here. I was gonna have it on my list as, like, three or four, but just because I couldn't make that comparison, I didn't want to put it on there and make it seem like I thought the Tom Cruise one was better than the original one. In actuality, I hadn't seen it. So,
And then your background of watching horror movies most of your life, you couldn't think of one alien horror invasion movie.
That's the thing. I'm not huge on, like, sci-fi horror so much.
Oh.
But I like slashers. That's my slashers and tons of corn syrup, you know, everywhere. And but I do enjoy alien horror films. That's just not my forte when it comes to horror films.
All right. What's your number one, Mark?
Well, my number one is the original War of the Worlds. I mean, without H.G. Wells writing that book and the movie being made, we don't get all these other alien invasion movies that we have. It's a classic. It's truly terrifying if you watch that. Like, if you were to ever show someone an alien invasion movie, you show them War of the Worlds first, they'd probably be a little scared by it. You know, it was terrifying at the times it came out. And it's a classic. So that's my number one. So that's our top five alien invasion movies. Cool. Good stuff, guys.
Yeah.
Along with all his Godzilla movies. let's do some news. The DC character. Is he a DC character, Static Shock? I guess he's got a pretty big following. Michael B. Jordan's going to produce a movie based on him. So Static Shock's coming to the big screen, I guess, once big screen movies finally come back out, you know.
I watched the animated series on Saturday morning cartoons when that was a thing. And then you even had him appear in Justice League. Whenever you remember the, I forget which Justice League series it was. It was the cartoon series.
We have an update. The Astros 2-run single from Correa. It's 4-2.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Some hope.
Yep.
A little bit.
He appeared in that episode where Batman goes to the future because he gets transported into the future somehow, and Superman is now kind of evil-ish. He's not afraid to kill people anymore. And same for the other Justice League members, because they lost somebody. I guess someone died. And you remember that? And then Static is like 40 years old instead of a kid. Yeah. But that was a cool episode.
I've never watched the show.
Yeah, Static Shock is cool. I like it. I think it's going to be good.
Sony confirmed they crushed fans' dreams that the Spider-Verse movie that they think we're not getting, there will be no Andrew Garfield or Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3. They pretty much confirmed that this week, which I'm honestly okay with that. I don't think you need too much. You know, let Marvel Studios and Sony do what they've done so far with Spider-Man and keep it at that.
Or they could be lying.
Yeah, they're liars.
Yeah, they're lying just to cool down the rumor mill.
You can't spell phony without Sony, so it's a phony story.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They're actually doing it, but they're just lying to keep people off.
You're a big liar.
But this Monday, the same day that this episode is released, during Monday Night Football, the new trailer for Mandalorian Season 2 will hit. So if you want to watch that. If you were waiting to get the Avengers game on PlayStation 5 or the Xbox Series X, you're going to wait a little bit longer till January or February as the game's been delayed. And Star Trek Discovery has been renewed for Season 4. And
yay. That's
all the news I have. It was a very slow news week. So, yeah.
Yeah, so not much going on in the news realm.
No, not a whole lot going this week, but maybe next week there will be more news. We'll see.
Except for if you're a big anime fan, they finally announced the fourth and final Evangelion reboot movie coming out January 23rd. Woo! Finally, after 9 years of waiting.
Yeah. Well, that was it. 4-2. Bregman struck out. But going to the bottom of the eighth. So let's preview next week's film in Halloween Horrors Month, a movie that is dear to Matt's heart. A movie that scared the living fuck out of me when I was younger. And I have still never really watched it all the way through. I've seen parts of it. But I'm going to face my fears this week and allow them to show me their great things that they have to show you, and that is Hellraiser.
I have seen the future of horror. His name is Clive Barker.
I hate you, Matt, for making me watch this, but I guess I owe you one for making fun of your ball sack surgery. I know. I'm sure Long is not as thrilled about watching it either as Long gets afraid of Freddy Krueger. So, you know, I'm sure Pinhead's going to frighten him quite a bit.
Well, actually, I'm very fascinated by the Hellraiser universe, cinematic world. More so than I am of the Freddy Krueger slasher movies, because it's such a unique horror voice, you know? Oh, so yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to watching this because I'm going to subscribe to Shudder, do their little trial. And it's a cheap subscription service anyways, too.
Yeah. They have one.
If I want to watch Shudder.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
If I want to watch Hellraiser 1 and 2, then I can just... And they have the documentary on there, too.
Oh, yeah.
The Hellraiser series.
Well, I'm pretty sure Hellraiser 1's on
Doug Bradley.
On Amazon, too.
Only Hellraiser 2 is.
Yeah, only available. Hellraiser 2. You have to have the Shudder.
On IMDb, it says watch on Prime Video.
Hopefully it's still on there.
But I'll double check.
Based off Clive Barker's Hellbound Heart, Hellraiser.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. It just loaded up. Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, watching it in surround sound. Oh boy,
that's gonna be nice.
I know we told people last week that Mars Attacks was on HBO Max, and it wasn't. We forgive us for that, but Hellraiser is on Amazon Prime and Shudder, so should be able to watch this streaming. So that's next week's show. That's it. That's all we got. Our October Patreon should be out, I think, this coming Wednesday. Me and Matt are going to record that and get that out to y'all. It is Resident Evil. So if you haven't joined Patreon, for just $2, you can join it and get that episode at therubberreelpodcast.com. And as always, we thank you for listening. We hope that you're enjoying Halloween Horrors Month so far, as we're about halfway through, a couple more movies to go. And then we get into some new stuff for the holiday season. But thank you as always for listening. We do appreciate it. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Martian. Ack, ack.
Ack, 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 ack,
ack.
And remember, just go there and do it. Ack, 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 ack.
Do it.